This is Free Thought Radio with co-hosts Dan Barker and Annie Laurie Gaylor. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews.
Imagine there's no heaven. It's easy if you try. Sky. Imagine all the people living for today.
Hello, happy infidels. I'm Annie Laurie Gaylor, and this is Free Thought Radio.
And I'm Dan Barker, your friendly neighborhood atheist. If atheism is a religion, then baldness is a hair color. Atheism is the absence of religion, the absence of faith, the lack of a belief in God. This show is the production of the National Freedom From Religion Foundation, and our listeners are atheists and agnostics. This is the weekend of August the 28th and 29th, 2010, and we just passed 16,000 members working to keep state and church separate through legal activity, through complaints, through lawsuits, and to educate about the views of non-believers.
And this week, we have two guests. We're going to talk in a little bit with an atheist running for Congress. On the second half of Free Thought Radio, we'll talk with Wynn LaGrow, MD, of Virginia, who is the bona fide Democratic candidate running against Randy Forbes. Last week, Dr. LaGrow came out as an atheist. He has had a distinguished medical career from which he recently retired. He is the son of a clergy person, so we'll be interested to find out more about this intriguing person.
And in a few minutes, we'll have a quick chat with Steve Benson, our friend Steve Benson, the Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial cartoonist for the Arizona Republic. Steve and I will be teaming up for an all-new production of Toons and Tunes, and that's spelled T-O-O-N-S and T-U-N-E-S. Steve Benson's cartoons and my musical tunes. Toons and Tunes is a musical visual review of editorial comments and religion in the news. We'll be performing that this year at the 33rd Annual Convention of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is coming up right here in Madison, Wisconsin on Halloween weekend, opening Friday, October 29th, and then all day Saturday, and ending that night with Steve's and my Toons and Tunes review, totally updated for 2010.
Before we get to Steve on the line, a quick comment on religion's continuing war against science and progress. And boy, do we have a bad example this weekend of that. You know about the court ruling last week blocking federal funding for research involving human embryonic stem cells. The Obama administration is appealing that ruling that was handed down Monday by Judge Royce Lamberth of the U.S. District Court in Washington. But in the meantime, the U.S. government is having to freeze all new grants to scientists and impose other restrictions and basically undo President Obama's act of March 2009, expanding federal funding of human embryonic research into stem cells. This is one of his most important actions to date. And it's going to go back basically to President Bush's restrictions or even worse.
And who took that lawsuit?
That lawsuit was taken by no coincidence by the Alliance Defense Fund, an overly well-endowed team of Christian lawyers. And by that, I mean, boy, do they have a lot of money.
And they're always begging for more. The ADF, the Alliance Defense Fund, took this lawsuit on behalf of Nightlight Christian Adoptions. And get this, on behalf of unnamed embryos, as well as two stem cell scientists. Last year, the judge dismissed the lawsuit, saying, not surprisingly, that the plaintiffs lack standing to sue. How can an unnamed embryo have standing to sue? But the Court of Appeals reversed that ruling, saying that the two researchers themselves were harmed because they work exclusively with adult stem cells. The judge agreed with a ridiculous claim that they would face increased competition for federal financing under the new policy.
And it is ridiculous because thanks especially to the Roman Catholic Church and their outcry over embryonic stem cells, there's been a lot more money going to adult stem cell research, even though the embryonic lines are the gold standard. And embryonic lines, of course, are contributed by fertility clinics. Those fertilized eggs would otherwise have been discarded. So look at the harm created by the organized Christian right holding science hostage, placing the entire human embryonic stem cell research into jeopardy in the United States. This is a big issue here in Madison, Wisconsin, home of embryonic stem cell research.
And whoever thought that there was no harm in religion? Well, here's one clear example of how religion causes unnecessary harm. It's a big step backward, and it's a devastating blow. The problem isn't just that Obama's order has stayed, but that this order seems to be so far-reaching, it even calls into question the original stem cell lines that President Bush had limited research into. It would be even more restrictive than the policy adopted by Bush in 2001.
So briefly, the judge invoked the Dickey-Wicker Amendment passed by Congress in 96. It has been passed annually ever since, which does indeed ban federal financing for any, quote, research in which a human embryo or embryos are destroyed, discarded, or knowingly subjected to risk of injury or death, unquote. Clearly, what Congress needs to do is repeal the Dickey-Wicker Amendment, and we need to get on with it. The Catholic Church and fundamentalist Christian lobbies ought not be allowed to stifle progress and harm scientific research in this country.
I wonder if some of those priests are worried that maybe some of their own offspring is going to be destroyed by this research. We'll be back right after this break to check in with former Mormon no more, turned atheist, Steve Benson. He's the irreverent cartoonist for the Arizona Republic, who will be here in town in Madison, Wisconsin, to entertain convention goers on October the 30th at the Freedom From Religion Foundation's annual national convention. If you want to learn more about our convention coming up in October, go to our website, ffrf.org/outreach/convention, and then you can register for the event.
My name is Margaret Elwood, and I'm on Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
I'm Annie Laurie Geller with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio. Coming up, we'll talk with an atheist running for Congress. The bona fide Democratic challenger of Randy Forbes came out last week as a non-believer.
And now we will pay attention to that man behind the cartoon. His name is Steve Benson, and he's on the phone with us for just a quick interview today. How are you, Steve?
Fine, Dan. How are you, Annie?
I'm fine.
Great. So you're in Phoenix.
Editorial cartoonist for the Arizona Republic.
Yeah, and you've been on our show 27,000 times. And
your fault, not mine.
And, of course, we run your pictures in the paper, and as we've been talking about before we came onto this segment, you and I are going to be doing our show this fall at the convention.
It's going to be the Halloween day weekend or something.
Are we going to scare everybody out of the room? Is that?
I think we're going to all come costume up as brains. That should scare a lot of people.
Can you tell our listeners very short? We don't have much time, but what is Tunes and Tunes? It's called TUNES and TOONS. What is the show?
Well, it's a combination of witty, satirical, musical performance combined with unimaginative cartoons by myself. The reason why I say unimaginative is because I don't have to imagine any of it. All I have to imagine is some politician in the name of God saying or doing something stupid, and there's my cartoon. So we combine the cartoons, the tunes, T-O-O-N-S, with your brilliantly concocted melodic offerings, T-U-N-E-S, and it's 45 minutes of pure, unadulterated, hysterical, devastating, commentary.
Of course, we co-write a lot of those songs. I mean, lyrically, you and I collaborate on it. So the good ones are mine, and the bad ones you can take. You can take the credit for.
Now I understand you guys have got a secret you're going to unveil in Madison.
Oh, we're not going to tell. We're not going to talk about it now. But it does involve you, if you want to play along with us.
Oh, really? Well, that's part of the secret I didn't know anything about. Okay, well, whatever.
It involves your face, but we're not going to. We'll talk about this in a future show. This
okay.
New campaign.
Well, a good time will be had by all. I'm looking forward to going to Madison, if not to perform with Dan. At least to go to the Capitol, where I can get some fresh fruit on the weekends at the wonderful farmer's
market. Yeah.
And I tell you, but we got lots of eggheads in the religious community, so maybe we don't need to go to the farmer's market.
And we'll have Ayan Hirsi Ali speaking, and Julia Sweeney, and Linda Greenhouse, who covered the Supreme Court for the New York Times for 30 years. Uh-huh. Also joining us, so that's FFRF's convention on Halloween weekend in Madison, Wisconsin. So, Steve, we haven't talked about how you are a Mormon no more.
a no-mo, huh?
Ex-mo.
I was a born-in-the-bed Mormon and then a born-in-the-head atheist, ultimately. But I was raised in the Mormon church. My roots go deep. I think we go back several generations into the polygamous, misty history of Mormonism. And that accounts for the funny looks. I mean, it's like the royal British family. You know, you inbreed long enough, and your ears start to poke out.
Well, but, if it's polygamous, isn't it just one big generation? It's not several generations.
Yeah, it's just one big happy family.
Yeah.
But when I was in my late 30s, I finally had enough of it, and left the church, the Mormon Church, which I consider to be a very authoritarian, anti-intellectual, reason organization, which would fit in comfortably with a lot of the evangelical conservatives nowadays. But nonetheless, I left it and spoke out quite publicly about it. My grandfather was the president of the Mormon Church, Ezra Taft Benson, 13th president of the Mormon Church. And so because of my ability to speak out to media channels, it did get some notice from the larger media community. But
it was big
news. Interesting ride.
It was big news at the time.
Isn't it still big news? Doesn't every Mormon in the country know your name now?
Well, they're just they haven't turned the other cheek, which proves they're not Christian. Huh. But yeah, they don't forget. The role, I think, of a provocateur, whether they're wielding a pen or tinkling on a piano or working at the FFRF, is to remind people of the historical free thought tradition that we have in this country that goes back to the days of the Enlightenment, and that we're battling for even in these times, and particularly during these times where there's a lot of economic stress and anxiety, and we see xenophobia rise up, and we see, you know, appeals to God in order to solve our problems, and all this irrational and impulsive behavior that erodes the very foundations of the Constitution. I mean, we see it now, ironically enough, in this big controversy over the building of this mosque near Ground Zero.
Yeah, we commented on that last week, and that just doesn't go away, does it? And you've had several very good cartoons celebrating religious liberty.
Well, I think that the founders recognized the inherent right of people to hold nutty beliefs if they want to about religion. And under the First Amendment, of course, whether you're Islamic or you're Christian or you're any brand of religion, as long as Thomas Jefferson said you're not picking my pocket or breaking my leg, you can believe what you want to believe. And the ironic thing is that these Islamic phobic critics of the mosque are giving lip service to the freedom under the Constitution to exercise religious liberty, but saying, well, you're being insensitive to the bigots out there who don't want the Muslims to exercise their religious freedom. This isn't even on Ground Zero. It's two blocks away, and just a few hundred feet beyond this proposed site is an actual Islamic mosque, and there's never been any complaints about that.
Or the strip joints in the area.
Excuse me?
Or the strip joints and other things in the area that might not be considered hallowed.
Exactly. I mean, now, Dan, I understand you have Native American origins.
Well, actually, our tribe is the Lenape tribe that was there on Manhattan Island when the Dutch and the English came and committed their genocide and terrorism against our group of people.
Well, there you go. Therefore, I don't believe that out of respect to your Native American ancestors and to your current family of Native American related people, there should be any white, Dutch, or European-related edifice built anywhere close to what you would consider hallowed ground.
Well, they were all Christians, just, too, so no churches.
Exactly right. And using the same argument, because there's a significant Jewish population in New York City, and because the Catholic Church was involved during the Inquisition in slaughtering Muslims, non-believers, and Jews, therefore Catholic churches should be built nowhere in Manhattan within the line of sight of anyone whose predecessors were victimized by the Catholic Church.
Tell us about the Dr. Laura cartoon you just ran.
Well, Dr. Laura is guilty of spewing the I word, which is idiot. She's also guilty of spewing the N-word, which is numbskull, and the other N-word, which is narcissistic. She came out and said, of course, that it is not racist to use the N-word, and of course we all know the N-word she's talking about, and that, this just killed me. She was talking to an African-American woman who was in an interracial marriage. She's married to a white man, and she was complaining, this African-American woman, about how some of her husband's white friends come over and crack racist jokes. And she mentioned the N-word in the process. And Dr. Laura said, well, you know, you're hypersensitive. And if you don't have a sense of humor and you're hypersensitive, then you shouldn't marry outside of your race.
Huh.
And then she proceeds in the course of a 6-minute interview to utter the N-word in various ways 11 times.
Well, she's so finally retiring.
Hmm.
She's finally retiring, yes. So I did a cartoon, said the N-word, and then across her cranium, so-called, is the in big block letters, is the word numbskull.
So are we going to use that one in the show this October? We probably could, huh?
I think that people are certainly capable in this group of understanding the depth and the breadth of this numbskull's latest manifestation of bigotry and stupidity, so I hope they will enjoy it at her expense.
And, of course, she's a big promoter of the Ten Commandments and quite religious, Nita.
Yeah. Yes, in fact, several years ago when, unfortunately, embarrassing photographs of her became publicly known, she was at that time cheating on her husband and eventually got divorced. And was cavorting like a wild weasel, as her lover boy described it. Anyway, I did a cartoon with her strutting across the stage. It was the Dr. Laura show, and she had the two tablets, the Ten Commandments, strategically held in tantalizing positions.
She was naked, and she had that in front of her. Right?
Well, I wasn't going to say that. I was not going to use the N-word, the naked word. But
no.
Go ahead. Huh. That's why you're here, Dan.
So, we only have about a minute left. Arizona is quite the spot to be for an editorial cartoonist, isn't it?
Well, yes, it is. Right now, of course, we've got the hotly contested issue of immigration reform and border security and SB 1070, which was Arizona's response to the border of problems that we have, or at least the perceived ones, and that was struck down in large measure by a federal judge. So there is a lot of Tea Party activity down here. There's a lot of fundamentalism going on.
Well,
and I would hope that...
come and learn more at our convention, Halloween weekend. We've been talking with the Pulitzer Prize-winning editorial cartoonist for the Arizona Republic, Steve Benson, who's going to be tuning up with Dan Barker here. And we'll be right back to talk with Randy Forbes' opponent, Wynn LeGros, MD, an atheist challenger.
Find out more about Free Thought Radio and the Freedom From Religion Foundation at FFRF.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. The things that you're liable to read in the Bible, it ain't necessarily so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laura Gaylor, here with Dan Barker. We're the co-presidents of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, and Dan is going to welcome our very special and unusual guest.
Wynn LeGros is our guest. We have him on the phone from Virginia. Should I spell his name? His first name is Wynn, is W-Y-N-N-E, and his last name, LeGros, L-E-G-R-O-W. Wynn LeGros is, first and foremost, a husband, father, doctor, veteran, and a candidate for Virginia's 4th Congressional District. For almost three decades, Wynn LeGros provided the residents of rural Southern Virginia with quality, affordable health care. As the son of a minister and a school teacher, Wynn was raised in Vermont, moved to Ohio at the age of 9, graduated from The Ohio State University and its College of Medicine. While there, he joined the ROTC, received a commission to the U.S. Army, graduated from medical school in 1972, completed an internship, residency in internal medicine at University of Missouri, served as a physician in the Army at Fort Rucker, Alabama, from 75 to 77, and promoted to rank of major. Following his discharge from the Army, Wynn studied nephrology, which is kidney disease, at the University of Connecticut Health Center. Wynn moved to Emporia, Virginia in 1979, where he started his medical practice. Most of his career, he's been practicing primary care in internal medicine, as well as caring for hundreds of dialysis patients. In 1990, he opened his own dialysis center. After nearly 30 years of practicing medicine in Emporia, Wynn LeGros retired in September of 2008. In June of last year, he went to Honduras with wife Marilyn and her daughter Victoria to provide humanitarian medical care for the poor. Last week, Dr. LeGros wrote an article posted on the Daily Kos, "An Atheist Running for Congress." What a fascinating concept. So welcome to Free Thought Radio, Dr. LeGros.
Thank you very much.
Now, you are the Democratic nominee for the U.S. House of Representatives in Virginia's 4th Congressional District. And that makes you running against who?
I am running against Republican Randy Forbes.
So how did this happen? The Democratic bona fide candidate is an atheist. Is that right?
That's right, yes.
And what made you throw in your hat, and what made you come out as an atheist?
Well, I mean, I've been an atheist since I was 16. My wife is uncomfortable with the term atheist. She is a Lutheran, so you can see that we can get along well, believers and non-believers. And I never really considered running for any office. I saw Ron Reagan on Larry King once, and Larry King asked him why he didn't run for office, and he said, "I can't. I'm an atheist." And
Ron Reagan's on the FFRF board. Honorary
very
board.
Good, very good. And I thought, well, it's interesting. The son of George H.W. Bush can run for president, but the son of Ronald Reagan can't. Because of their religious beliefs, apparently. So that never seemed quite right to me. And I was always interested in politics, followed it closely, but never really considered running. But 8 years of George W. Bush in office, and things were going on that I just didn't agree with, and I'm not quite sure when the switch clicked over, but I thought, well, why don't I do this? And then I'm very interested in global climate change, and obviously it has not been addressed adequately. I'm convinced global climate change is caused by human beings burning fossil fuel. And I had been thinking about running for Congress, and then I went to see Al Gore's movie, An Uncomfortable and...
Inconvenient Truth.
Inconvenient yeah. Truth, there it is. And at the end of it, he said, you know, if you're not pleased with how things are going, you run for Congress. And like I said, I'd already been thinking about it, and I thought, well, why not? So, I mean, that was the reason I'm running for Congress don't have anything to do with my lack of religious beliefs. It's other things that were going on in this country, and a primary one being global climate change. It's just not being addressed properly.
But isn't it true, though, Dr. LeGros, that not being religious gives you a special focus on this world? Of course, those of us who don't believe in another world would care deeply about our own environment.
I would think so. I mean, to a non-believer, this is all we have right here, and we have to take care of it. And fortunately, some people of religion are joining that also, which we need everybody in this battle against pollution and climate change. And the other thing that got me into this was the financial situation our country is in. We're just coming out of a recession that I think could have been avoided if we had regulations that were properly enforced. And in addition to that, we have a national debt of over $13 trillion. And Congress, you know, we get people in there who say we have to get out of debt, but they get us deeper and deeper into it. And both parties have been guilty of this. And 8 years of George W. Bush got us much deeper in debt with votes of Randy Forbes, you know, on things like the war in Iraq and the continuing the tax cuts, the Bush tax cuts for the wealthy put us, you know, over half a trillion dollars in deeper in debt. So many of these things need to be addressed, and I don't think have that adequately been addressed, and those were the reasons I decided to run.
But now let's talk about the reason why you decided to then run as an atheist. I mean, to come out as an atheist was last week.
I mean, wouldn't that be considered political suicide in some areas?
Well, that's possible. But, you know, I was brought up in a household where honesty and integrity were sort of drilled into me. And to me, that's not religious. That's what's needed in this world. And I was not comfortable running with an assumption that I was religious when I'm not. And, you know, part of the campaigning is this district is 30-some percent African American, which is the base of the Democratic vote here. So I need to get African American votes. And part of it is going to African American churches, which I have done. But I was very welcomed openly and was very comfortable on that level. But on another level, it was sort of assumed that I was Christian. And I would be very comfortable continuing this with the understanding that I respect their religion, but I'm not part of any religion.
So have you yet had an engagement in a black church since you came out as an atheist?
No, I haven't.
Haven't had that yet.
You remind me of the current Prime Minister of Australia. She came out saying that she doesn't believe in God and that she didn't want to play any games. She thinks honesty is important, and she says, I can't pretend for political reasons to have this faith that I don't have. So you seem to have the same kind of courage.
Well, it's to me, I'm uncomfortable being presented as something other than what I am. So I'm much more comfortable stating who I am honestly and then going on from there.
Now, let's talk about who you are. In your bio, you emphasize the fact that your father was a Protestant minister.
Right.
And that you grew up in the church and that you accept the golden rule. But what about religion? What, you know, growing up as the son of a preacher man, why at 16 did you reject religion?
Well, I mean, since I knew I was going to have this interview, I was thinking about this, and I don't know how old I was, maybe 5 or 6. I have one brother, and he's 2.5 years older than I am. So when he found out about Santa Claus, he really couldn't keep it to himself, and so he didn't want his younger brother going around under some delusion. So he told me as soon as he could. And I've heard other people say how crushing that was to find out the truth about Santa Claus. And my reaction was, oh, well, good. That never did make any sense to me. And I was probably 5 or 6 at the time. So to me, I felt enlightened with being set straight on that. So when you have a child at that age who greets that news in that way, I think you've got a skeptic. And most of my younger years, I can remember trying to convince myself that there was a God. I was not a rebellious child. I was not, you know, one saying, I don't believe this. But I kept trying to find some way to convince myself that I believed it. And I would come up with reasons and go with them for months or years. And then finally I would say, well, you know, say to myself, you really don't believe this, do you? And finally, at the age of 16, I reached the point where I said, I simply don't accept these teachings of the supernatural. Indeed. I accept in how we should treat one another, but the supernatural, I can't accept it.
Did you tell your parents this? Did you tell your clergyman dad that you didn't agree?
No, I didn't. And my father died at age 88. Back, I think, in 1997. My mother died a few years ago at age 96. And they both knew that I never went to church once I left home. And but we didn't bring it up. One point after my father died, my mother sort of went around the subject and said she kind of wanted to talk to me about why I didn't go to church at some time in the future. And I said, well, it's sort of the basic assumptions of the church that I have trouble with. And she heard that, and she never brought it up again. And I think from that answer, I think she put it together. But that was enough, and I had a very close relationship with my parents. I called my mother every day for about 5 years before she died. We were very close. But
so you didn't want religion to divide you?
Oh, no, not at all, not at all. And that's what I see as a problem in this country right now. Religion is dividing people. We have to have tolerance.
Now, this mosque business certainly shows it, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. It's and there were many, about 4 articles in the New York Times in the editorial section last weekend, all addressing it from different viewpoints. And I thought they were all very good. They made a lot of excellent points. And, religion right now is being used by politicians for political gain. And it makes me very uncomfortable.
Well, we will be right back to talk with Dr. Wynne LeGros, who is a candidate against Randy Forbes and has come out last week as an atheist. He's a Democratic contender. And we'll talk, I think, a little bit, I hope to talk a little bit about his humanitarian bent, which, you know, shows that many of us, regardless of our religious beliefs, care about others. And so we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back. I'm Annie Laura Gaylor with Dan Barker for Free Thought Radio.
Ask for a sample issue of Free Thought today and find out more about the Freedom From Religion Foundation at ffrf.org. Or phone 1-800-335-4021. This is Free Thought Radio. As Mark Twain said, faith is believing what you know ain't so. This is Free Thought Radio.
I'm Annie Laura Gaylor with Dan Barker, and we are speaking with Wynn LaGrow, MD of Virginia, a Democratic candidate, the Democratic candidate, facing off against Randy Forbes for a seat in the U.S. House of Representatives. And he came out last week as an atheist. He's an MD, and we've been talking with him about his background. And
I wanted to say that if he had been a Republican candidate coming out as an atheist, we'd be just as fascinated. We're not a political show, and maybe if we can get Randy Forbes to come on our show today to present his point of view, that would be fun as well. I wanted to ask you, Dr. LaGrow, is Virginia Beach in your district?
No, Virginia Beach is just outside. We go over to Chesapeake. Randy Forbes is from Chesapeake, but the line between Chesapeake and Virginia Beach is the easternmost line of our district.
So you're not looking for Pat Robertson's vote then?
No. Pat is going to have to vote in a different district, uh-huh. I'm afraid.
Now, your opponent is Congressman Randy Forbes, and he's been in Congress for 9 years. Do you want to briefly sum up his religious perspective?
Well, he is a graduate of University of Virginia's Law School, Thomas Jefferson School. And I think that's interesting because he has a very interesting take on separation of church and state. And I have clipped out a number of articles that he has written that have appeared in the local newspaper. And if I could, I'd like to quote from one of these articles. It says, "On a primary level, many cite the absence of religious language in the Constitution as evidence of a secular country, but nothing could be further from the truth. Indeed, the concept of separation in church and state was not born to establish freedom from religion, but establish freedom for religion." And that's interesting to me on at least two points. One, he twice uses the word establish, which, of course, the First Amendment states that you cannot establish religion. And secondly, he seems to be separating believers from non-believers on a constitutional level, which I find to be upsetting and just flatly incorrect. I mean, that is clearly not what Thomas Jefferson had in mind when he wrote the phrase "wall of separation between church and state."
And then your article that we should also advertise again, "An Atheist Running for Congress." It came out last Wednesday, August 18th, on Daily Coast, and you can find it on the internet all over. You point out that Randy Forbes founded the Congressional Prayer Caucus, and this is a kind of big deal these days. And he led a group of House and Senate members in a public prayer for the demise of the health care reform, and he introduced a congressional resolution to have "In God We Trust" engraved at the new Capitol Visitor Center, which the Freedom From Religion Foundation is attempting to challenge in court. So that's who you're. It's a very clear battle, isn't it, between the two of you?
Yeah, I think there's a clear divide there. Yes, I saw on television, and I think it's on YouTube, where there was a preacher preaching very vociferously for the defeat of the health care bill, and it showed Senator Brownback and Senator DeMint sitting in front. While standing right beside the preacher at the time was Congressman Randy Forbes. And so he is certainly not above putting his religion forefront when he's trying to defeat something like health care.
No, and he's known for his religion, isn't he?
Right.
Now,
right.
We only have 2 minutes left, and so I want to switch gears to your humanitarian work. You spent some time in Honduras when you retired as a doctor. You've also spent a whole career trying to help people. So as an atheist, I mean, some people just think you can't be a good person if you're an atheist. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I was thinking about that also, and I remembered what Carl Sagan has said, and this is not a direct quote. This is sort of what I remember, but he said something to the fact that if you want to have a meaningful life, do something meaningful.
Yeah.
And to me, I was always interested in science, but I couldn't see myself just doing science alone. I wanted to help people on a direct one-to-one basis. And combining that that interest in science with a need to help people, medicine was really the ideal profession for me. So that's one of the reasons I went into it, and I practiced here for 29 years. 20 of those years I was in solo practice, on call all the time. And it has been a very rewarding life. Now, getting up in the middle of the night all the time, when you get a little older, it gets harder. So I was wondering, what else can I do to try to make a difference? And that's one of the reasons I looked into this approach.
Well, we are a nonpartisan group. This is an interview because you are a candidate who has come out as an atheist and for separation of church and state. But if people want to learn more about you, Wynn LaGrow, MD, where should they go on the internet?
Our website is LaGrowForUSCongress.com. LaGrow is LEGROW. Four is spelled out, FOR, USCongress.com.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And we want you to know we will not be praying for your victory.
All right. I think I can deal with it.
We also want to thank our producer, Brian Tarani, our announcer, Buzz Kemper. This show is recorded in Madison, Wisconsin. Go to ffrf.org/radio to hear archives and to listen to the podcast of the show.
Ask for more information at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021. We are the largest association of freethinkers in the United States. We work for separation of church and state. Join us. Help us. Tune in next week for more Rational Radio, Blasphemous Broadcasting. Ask for a sample of our newspaper Free Thought Today at ffrf.org or phone 1-800-335-4021.
Free Thought Radio is a production of the Freedom From Religion Foundation, ffrf.org. Irreverent views, news, music, and interviews brought to you by Annie Laurie Gaylor and Dan Barker.